All right, let's do an abridged version of the Daf Yomi Shir today. Today's Daf is Zvachim Daf Samach. We actually left off on the top of Daf Samach Amud Aleph, but let's just get back into the flow of the discussion over here. The Gemara was discussing a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, exactly how big the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was. The Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu had in the Mishkan, that they had built in the Mishkan, which was obviously not built to the specifications of the Mizbeach that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. And we were discussing how the Gemara said yesterday that, tried to interpret the pasuk, that Shlomo HaMelech, at least according to one shita, because there wasn't enough room on his new mizbeach that he had built on the day that he built the Beis HaMikdash, where he wanted to bring 142,000 karbanos, so there wasn't enough room on the mizbeach to burn all those karbanos. So he was mekadesh the area around the mizbeach as well, not just the makom hamizbeach itself. So that led to a whole discussion about the comparative size between the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built. So we had a discussion both in terms of how tall it was, as well as in terms of how long and wide it was. So if you look right before the parentheses on Daf Nun Tes Amud Bey, is about 7-8 lines up. Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Efshar Kohen Omer Al Gavi Mizbeach Vavoda Biyado V'Kol Amron Osami Bechutz. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi, how can you say that the Mizbeach was very high, that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was very high? If the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was high, then you're going to have the Kohen Gadol standing on top of the Mizbeach. He's going to be doing the Avoda, and everyone is going to be able to see him from the outside. And that can't be, that you're going to have everyone watching him from the outside. So what's the problem with having everyone watch him from the outside? So the Mikdash David says, it's Tznius HaBi'alma, that the concern is one of Tznius. He has a whole discussion that maybe it should be more than Tznius. Maybe when you go above the walls of the Mishkan, that any area above the height of the walls of the Mishkan is already outside of the Mikdash. Who says that the Kedushas HaMishkan is Ola Ad L'Rakia, that it goes straight up, or that the Kedushas HaMizbeach is Ola Ad L'Rakia, like a good Asik Mechitzta type of thing, like we have Mesech HaSukkah, Mesech Serevin, that it goes all the way up. Maybe it stops, maybe the Kedusha stops at a certain point, and this obviously is relevant to the discussion we brought up a couple of days ago about flying a helicopter over the Makom HaMikdash. Now, this isn't talking about the Mikdash, it's talking about the Mishkan, which was in transit. Maybe there's more of a reason to say it should stop at the height of the walls rather than an area that has permanent Kedusha. But nevertheless, so he says, the Mikdash David says, no, but it seems that would not be a psul yotze, would not be considered outside of the Mikdash. Let's say for whatever reason a Kohen was standing in the Mishkan and he took a piece of kachem meat and he threw it way up in the air and he caught it. So it goes all the way up above the walls, above everything, and he catches it. So is the kachem psul yotze that it went outside of the Mikdash? So Mikdash David thinks not. He thinks it's not a psul yotze. And what the Gemara is saying over here is, it's an use of the Alma, it's just not right that he's going to be doing the avoda and everyone's going to be watching him from the outside. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu had to be much shorter than you, Rabbi Yossi, are trying to say that it was. So Amar lo Rabbi Yossi, v'lo kvar ne'emar. So Rabbi Yossi says, no, but the pasuk says, es kaleh chatzer ves masach shara chatzer asher al mishkan yal mizbeach. So ma mishkan yuramos, af mizbeach yuramos, that we compare the mishkan to the mizbeach. So if the mishkan was 10 amos, the mizbeach, meaning the mishkan required curtains around it that were 10 amos high, so the Mizbeach also had to be 10 amos. So he says it was very high. Va'omer, and the pasuk says, Kla'im chamesha srei ama ala kasef. Yet, there's another pasuk that says that the curtains around the Mishkan were 15 amos. So, matam alomer hey amos. What then does the pasuk mean when it says 5 amos? Misvas Mizbeach lamala. So you see what it's telling us is that the Mizbeach was 5, that the curtains were 5 amos higher than the Mizbeach. So the curtains that went up 15 amos actually surrounded a Mizbeach that was 10 amos. So he says not that the curtains were a total of 5 amos high, the curtains were a total of 15 amos high, surrounding a Mizbeach that itself was 10 amos. So umat amalom v'sholosh amos kamaso. So what does the pasuk mean that the Mizbeach was 3 amos in height? Misvas sovev lamala. It means it was 3 amos from the sovev. Remember, the sovev is most of the way up the Mizbeach already. So from the sovev and above, that's where it's 3 amos in height. But in total, it's 10 amos. If you look at Rashi, misvas sovev lamala ad makom akronos ulamate menu vav amos v'gova keren ama. That under underneath the Sovev up until the Sovev is 6 amos. From the Sovev until the Kronos HaMizbeach is 3 amos. And then the Kronos were another amma. So that's a total of 10 amos of height. That's how you get it. So Rabbi Yossi says, so it's not a problem that of anyone looking inside, because the actual Mishkan was 15 amos high, and the Mizbeach was 10 amos high. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ki gamir gzera shava, when we say the gzera shava of Ravua, right, that we darshan out from Yecheskel, that it has to be Ravua, that it has to be squared, so he says, no, ki gamir gzera shava beruchava hu de gamir. We're not discussing the height of the Mizbeach, we're discussing the width of the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mizbeach was actually very short, but we learn from the Mizbeach of Yecheskel about the width of the Mizbeach, the quadrants of the Mizbeach, like we discussed yesterday. So, frak the Gemara, ul Rabbi Yehuda, hakamischazi kohen. But wait a second. According to Rabbi Yehuda, granted, he says that the Mizbeach was very short. It was only 3 amos high. But Rabbi Yehuda held that the Mishkan, the surrounding curtains of the Mishkan, were only 5 amos high. So if they were only 5 amos high, and the Mizbeach was 3 amos high, that means that if a Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach, so the average height of a person is 3 amos. So a Kohen standing on top of the Mizbeach that's 3 amos high, his height is going to be, by the top of his head, is going to be 6 amos off the ground. But from around, it's only 5 amos, right? The curtains around are only 5 amos. So everyone, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the kasha, he asked Rabbi Yossi, how could you say the Mizbeach was 10 amos high, then everyone's going to see? Well, it's a kasha new Rabbi Yehuda. Because if you hold the Mizbeach was 3 amos, the curtains were 5 amos, and the Kohen is 3 amos, so everyone's still going to see. Everyone's still going to be able to see the Kohen. So that's what Rashi says, that Hu Atzmo Gimel Amos Nimtzo Rosh HaLamalim Min HaKlayim. So his head will be above the Klayim. It's an interesting assumption. Rashi assumes that when we say the height of a person is 3 amos, it means including the head. And that's why only his head will be above the Klayim, that from his shoulders up is 1 amma. It's not so pasha. Tosos in several places in Shas, other Rishonim discuss that maybe when we say the height of a person is 3 amos, it means up until the shoulders, not all the way up until the top of his head. And the raya is, there are several rayas. One of them, for instance, is the Gemara at the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra talks about Hezek Re'iya. Talks about the concept that you are allowed to protect yourself from other people looking in to your property, and that there's such a concept that someone looks into your property, invades your privacy, that's called Hezek Re'iya. So you could be mechayiv your neighbor to help you build a wall to stop him from invading your privacy. How high does that wall go? So says the Gemara, 4 amos. The Mishnah, really, 4 amos. The wall's 4 amos high. So ask the Rishonim, what do you need a 4 amo high wall if a person is only 3 amos tall? He's not going to be able to see over if the wall is 3 amos. Why do you need 4 amos? So some of the Rishonim say, well, that's what you see, that a person must not really be 3 amos high. When we say that the average height of a person is 3 amos, it means up until the shoulder is 3 amos high. And then his head sticks above 3 amos, so that's why you need to build a 4 amo wall. The raya the other, and they point out, the major raya the other way is when we talk about the size of a mikveh has to be 40 sa'a. So where do we get the number 40 sa'a? So the Gemara says that the 40 sa'a is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos high, because that's the size of a person. It has to be able to fit an average person inside of it, which is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amos high. So that makes it sound like the person entirely is 3 amos high, not just up until the shoulders. But I think those Rishonim who say that a person only up until the shoulders is 3 amos high say, no, don't you see if the water is an amma by an amma by 3 amos high, when the person goes inside the water level will rise and it will then go above his head, and that's why it's going to reach above his head. But Rashi clearly over here assumes that the entire height of a person up until the top of his head is 3 amos, not only up until his shoulders. You could have understood the other way, and the kasha is still a kasha, that the Kohen is going, meaning obviously it would be even more of a kasha if up until the shoulders is 3 amos high, then you'll have an amma of his torso plus an amma above his shoulders that's sticking out above the curtains of the Mishkan. So says Gemara, Nihi the Kohen Mischazi, Avodah de Biyad Lo Mischazi. Yeah, they can all see the Kohen, that's not a problem. They're not going to be able to see what he's doing, though, because he's going to hold his hands below the height of his shoulders, so they're not going to be able to see the Avodah. And the problem is just to see the Avodah. Seeing the Kohen is not really what bothers us. Okay, so says the Gemara, Bishlam and Rabbi Yehuda, I understand very well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Dixiv Kidesh. I understand why Rabbi Yehuda says that Shlomo HaMelech was Mekadesh, the entire Ritzba, the entire floor around the Mizbeach. That makes a lot of sense. Al Rabbi Yossi, my kiddush. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, why did he have to be mekadesh the area around the ritzbah, around the floor of the azara? After all, according to Rabbi Yossi, there was plenty of room on the new mizbeach to shecht as many korbanos as he wanted. Remember the cheshbon we did yesterday was that the small mizbeach was able to burn 1,000 korbanos a day, right? And if he needed to burn 142,000 korbanos, the large mizbeach had to have a burning surface of 142 times that of the small mizbeach. So depending how big you held the small mizbeach was, the mizbeach for Moshe Rabbeinu was, that would determine whether the new mizbeach was in fact large enough for that. If you held the burning surface of the small mizbeach was only one amma by one amma, so then you had plenty surface. Then the new mizbeach had 400 times that burning surface, right? And therefore you wouldn't need to be mekadesh the floor around the new mizbeach, because the new mizbeach had plenty of area. Whereas if you held that the burning surface on the small mizbeach was larger than that, so then you would need and still only accommodated 1,000 korbanos, then you would need more burning surface than the new mizbeach afforded. So according to Rabbi Yossi, what did he have to be mekadesh for? The old mizbeach had a very small burning surface, was still able to burn 1,000 korbanos, so you should have had plenty of room on the new mizbeach. What was he mekadesh the floor for? So it says more lahamid ba mizbeach. No, he's mekadesh the floor to allow for the building of the mizbeach. Meaning to not that he was mekadesh the floor around the mizbeach because they needed to burn off of the mizbeach. He was mekadesh the floor in order to build the mizbeach. So it says more bishlam Rabbi Yossi haynu dechsev katan el Rabbi Yehuda my katan. According to Rabbi Yossi, I understand why it says katan. It says that Shlomo Amelech's mizbeach was gadol and Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbeach was katan. So I understand why you would call Moshe Rabbeinu's mizbeach katan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, my katan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that he was mekadesh the entire ritzbah. So because the mizbeach of Shlomo was not able to contain all of the karbanos that they needed to put on it, which is Rabbi Yehuda's view. So then, my katan. Why would you say the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why would the pasuk say, yeah, the old mizbeach was too small? No, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the new mizbeach was too small for what he wanted to do. The new expanded, larger mizbeach was too small, and that's why he had to be mekadesh the whole ritzpah, the whole area around it. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that the new mizbeach was plenty big, so I understand why it's saying. It's saying that the old mizbeach was too small, so he had to be mekadesh a larger area, a floor on which to build a new mizbeach, and the new mizbeach was going to be plenty big. So the new mizbeach was gadol, Shlomo's mizbeach was gadol, Moshe's was katan. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, even with the new mizbeach, it still wasn't enough room. So why would you call Moshe's mizbeach katan, Shlomo's mizbeach gadol? Even Shlomo's mizbeach was katan, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So hachi kamar. This is what we mean to say. Mizbeach avanim sha'asa Shlomo tachas mizbeach anachoshes katan hava. Says you're right. The way to read the pasuk is that the mizbeach that Shlomo, when we refer to a katan, we're not referring to the mizbeach of Moshe. The pasuk is actually referring to the mizbeach of Shlomo, and what it's saying is the mizbeach of Shlomo that was built to replace the mizbeach of Moshe was also too small. That's what it's saying. It's not saying that the mizbeach of Moshe itself was small. So b'may pligi. So what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Danin Chutz Michutz, meaning this machlokas where Rabbi Yossi learns that Ravua from the Mizbeach Hazav, and Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the Mizbeach of Yecheskel. So what are they arguing about? So Mar Savar Danin Chutz Michutz Vein Danin Chutz Mipnim. So it's machlokas. Do you learn Chutz Michutz the Mizbeach of Moshe from the Mizbeach of Shlomo, a regular mizbeach, rather than learning it from mizbeach apnim? Omar sava don kli mikli vein don kli mibinyan. And the other one says no, you're going to learn from the mizbeach anachoshes rather than learning from the mizbeach of Moshe, from the mizbeach of Nechoshes, rather than learning from a mizbeach made out of avanim, which is not considered a kli, it's considered to be binyan, it's considered to be part of the structure of the mikdash, because it's a mizbeach avanim, it was this massive structure that we said, that we learned how it was made, by taking the frames and cementing into the ground all these rocks, so that was considered binyan, that wasn't even considered kelim, period. Amar Rava. Moda Rabbi Yehuda b'damim. So if you recall, we said yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda when it comes to dam, meaning Rabbi Yehuda who held that the entire Azara is Muktash, to burn the Chalavim, to burn the different parts of the Karbanos, is Moda that when it comes to the Zrikas HaDam of the Karbanos, you still need to be Zorik the dam on the Mizbeach. Now if you look at Tosos, before we go even a step further, Tosos says, Tema, Maika Salka Daitach Meikara, Vakaran Vrivua Yesod Ma'akvin. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda is Moda that for Zrikas Dam you need the Mizbeach. Everything is Ma'akiv. The Karen is Ma'akiv. The Rivua is Ma'akiv. All these details of the Mizbeach are Ma'akiv, the Zrikas Dam. Zrikas Dam is not going to work if you don't have the Karnos HaMizbeach, if you don't have a perfect square, if you don't have the Yesod. All these things are Ma'akiv, the Zrikas Hadam. So, of course, you need to do the Zrikas Hadam on the Mizbeach. What's the Hava Amina that you would not require the Zrikas Hadam on the Mizbeach? So, the Mitzvah Eisan, in the back of the Gemara, he says he doesn't understand Tosfos Kasha. He says, Veini Yodea, my Kashale, Dinihi de Sagid Rabbi Yehuda Beritzva, Mikol Makom Bayi Sheyeh Mizbeach Shalem. He says, no, maybe what? Yes, all those things are ma'akev. Of course they're ma'akev. Meaning, the Mizbeach needs to be perfect while you do the Zrika. Who says the Zrika has to be done on the Mizbeach, though? Just because you need the Mizbeach intact and perfect while you do the Zrika, doesn't mean the Zrika needs to be on the Mizbeach. He says, I'll give you an example. Shechita's not done on the Mizbeach. I mean, we discussed in the Mishnah that it could be kosher if done either on the entire or parts of the Mizbeach, but it's ideally not done on the Mizbeach. Like Tosfos pointed out, it's probably Gzeir Drabanan not to do Shechita on the Mizbeach, and yet, if you do a Shechita while the Mizbeach is pogum in any way, it's possible. The Shechita is no good. So what's bothering Tosfos, asked the Mitzvah son, that there's a Havamina that... Rabbi Yehuda says that you need the Mizbeach in order to do the Zrika, even though you don't need the Zrika on the Mizbeach. Tosfos says, how could you not need it? You need the Mizbeach to be perfect. Okay, so you need it to be perfect. What does that have to do with doing the Zrika on the Mizbeach? That's what the Mitzvah Eisan says. So anyway, Moda Rabbi Yehuda B'dam. Rabbi Yehuda's Moda that the Dam has to be on the Mizbeach. Ditani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosech Olei Mali Midamat HaRoves, Vishov Chal Gabe Mizbeach. Remember we had a discussion about Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, the Gemara had this unbelievable description of the Kohanim walking around on Erev Pesach when they plugged up all the drains in the Beis HaMikdash and there were so many animals being slaughtered, so the Kohanim were walking around knee-deep in blood. So we had a little discussion in regards to the Big Day Kohuna. How did you walk around knee-deep in blood and not ruin the Big Day Kohuna? You're not allowed to lift them up. It has to be midovar. It has to be exactly down to their ankles. So okay, we had a little discussion. They built planks on top of the blood, but the blood was knee-deep, right? So let's say you took from the Damata Roves, you took from just scooped up some blood from the floor, and you shove chal gabim mizbeach, and that would cover whatever karbanos maybe the zrikas dam didn't happen on. So if, let's say, just in case one of the karbanos had their blood fell out, spilled out, and never got to do a zrika, this would cover it because all the blood gets mixed in. You scoop up some from the floor and you throw it on the mizbeach. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda holds the entire Azara became Kadosh, and that it's not only on the Mizbeach that the Zrikas Adam has to be, Hasavdale Mitzvaseh. Well, what do you mean? You already had the mitzvah done just by it being on the floor. By the dam being on the floor, the entire floor became Kadosh. So what do you need Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach? You had Zrikas Adam on the floor. Answers Gemara, you didn't have Zrikas Adam on the floor. Vidilma Mishum Dekasavar Shvicha Mikacha Adam Be'inan. You had dam spilled on the floor. It could be by Zrikas Adam that you needed to be Mikacha Adam. You need a person to actually throw it, to put it there. But if the dam spilled on the floor, that does not mean you've already fulfilled your mitzvah of Zrika, even if the floor does have a din of a Mizbeach, because they were Mekadesh it. So says Umar, Imke Nishkele V'Nishpech Le'aduchtei. So why don't they just take up a cup of the blood, and instead of bringing it to the Mizbeach, if the whole floor was Kadosh, why don't they just pour it back on the floor? Bekavana, right? With a zrika of a person, throw it back on the floor, and won't that do it? So it says, "V'dil mishum debin mitzvah min amuvchar." Now, maybe for the mitzvah min amuvchar, you're supposed to dafka throw it on the mizbeach. You're not supposed to throw it on the floor. Maybe that's why they threw it on the mizbeach and did not throw it on the floor. Maybe that was the svara. So it says, "Gemara Amr Rav Lazar, mizbeach shenifkam." Ein ochlen begino shiare mincha. If the mizbeach becomes pagum, you can't eat on its account, on account of the mizbeach that became pagum, shiare mincha. Leftover the shirayim after the kmitza of the karban mincha. Meaning the like we said yesterday, that there's a din of dichui with the mizbeach. Remember we discussed yesterday the difference between dichui meikara versus nira v'nidcha. But there's a din of dichui that when the mizbeach is nifkam, that karban becomes temporary. Puzzle. So we're saying while the Mizbeach is Nifkam, you're not allowed to eat the Shiarei HaMincha. Just parenthetically, we didn't get to mention yesterday, I pointed out yesterday that logically one might have assumed that if something was Nidche Me'ikara, was never had a Shasa Kosher, never had a time where it was Kosher. Let's give the example, for instance, in Masechah Sukkah. If let's say you had a Hadas that by the time Yontif started was already Niktam Rosho, it was already cut off, the head was cut off of it, the top was cut off, and then it was also Botamara, and then it grew a cap on top of it. So that's Dichui Me'ikara. When Yontif started, that was already Nidche. Logically, you might think that that would be worse than, let's say, a Hadas that when Yontif started was fine, then after Yontif started, got the top chopped off, and then on Yontif grew a cap over the top. You might think that the second case of Nira V'nidcha, or at least it was kosher once, you might think is better than a case of Dichui Me'ikara. But we pointed out that the Gemara says clearly otherwise, that Nira V'nidcha is worse. If it was once Ra'ui, and then it was Nidcha, that's worse than something being Dachui Me'ikara, that's worse than something that was never Ra'ui. So Rav Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov, Klal Vav, Os Beis, has he goes to classic Rav Yosef Engel, this is what he does. He says, that's an interesting idea. Something that's better is more susceptible to problems because it's better, right? Something that was nearer, that was Roy once, is more susceptible to problems because it's on a higher level. Where else do we find that in Shas? Rav Yosef Engel, that's the way he operates. Where else do we find that in Shas? 9 places, right? So he goes through 9 examples where we find that something that's better is in a worse matzav or more susceptible to problems because it's better. I'll give you a couple of them. In Yevamos Daf Samech Chesed Beis, the Gemara says, Ma kohenes tibekedusha denafsha achla pasala, a kohenes, a female kohen, who's allowed to eat truma. If she marries Ammoni, Moavi, Mitzri, Adomi, it's going to pasal her. So the Gemara says, so Levia and Yisraelis, who can only eat truma if their son is a kohen, mikoach their son, so all the more so, marriage to Ammoni, Moavi, etc. will pasal them. So the Gemara says over there, no, maybe the kohenes, the kaddish begufa, pasala. Levi of Yisraelis lo kadosh begufa lo pasala. The Gemara says, no, maybe Kohenes is more susceptible to the problem of associating with an Ammoni and Moavi because she's on a higher level of Kedusha. The fact that she's on a higher level of Kedusha, so something else can bring her down. Whereas a Levi of Yisraelis doesn't have Kedusha begufa, so nothing else is going to be able to bring her down. Other examples, I'm not going to give all of them, obviously, but he gives some more agadic type of examples. Gemara Psachim Mem Tesem Beis says, Gedola Sina Shes that Amaratzim, there's a whole Amud in Pesachim of Mem Tesan Beis that discusses how horrible Amaratzim are and how much they hate Talmidei Chachamim. So it says how great the sinna is that Amaratzim have for Talmidei Chachamim, and then it says Shana v'Piresh Yoser Mikulam. Someone who once learned and then became an Amaretz, then became somebody who didn't like religious Judaism, didn't like Talmidei Chachamim. He's much worse than somebody who never learned in the first place. He says, why is that so? He says, because the Yetzer Hara is so much greater, the attack on someone who's a Bar Madrega is so much greater than the attack will be on somebody who's not a Bar Madrega, and therefore will pull him down so much further. Another example, he gives the Gemara in Ksubis of Sam Chavon Bez, Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai says, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate Klal Yisrael is, Bizman Sha'osu Ritzonu Shal Makom, that when we do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Kalum of Lashon Yichalu Lishlot Behem, and that when we don't do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're underneath even the lowest nations and even the animals of the lowest nations. So everyone asks the obvious kasha. Why is the first half? I understand Ashreichem Yisrael, that when we do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in great position. That's Ashreichem. Why is the second half of the sentence Ashreichem? We're so fortunate that when we don't do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're beneath the animals of the lowest of the nations. Why is that Ashreichem? So says Rav Yosef Engel, Maral says similar, but says Rav Yosef Engel, that's the idea. Because in order to be pulled down that low, it shows that we must have been on a great Madrega in the first place. Because when you're not on such a great Madrega, the pull to the bottom is not going to be as great. But when you're on a higher Madrega, so we're much more susceptible to problems, to being pulled down. Again, he has 9 examples from throughout Shas. I just gave you some of the more agadic, what I thought were interesting examples. But examples of this idea, that something that was dichoy me'ikara is not as susceptible to problems as something that was nearer, that was once ro'i, that was once good, and then was nidcha. Beautiful piece in Rav Yosef Engel. So, frak the Gemara. So you're allowed to eat shiari mincha. You're not allowed to eat shiari mincha, rather, when the mizbeach is nifkam. Shenemar, because the pasuk says v'achlua matzos eitzal hamizbeach. Pasuk says v'ichlua matzos eitzal hamizbeach. So the gemara says v'cheitzal mizbeach achlua. What did they eat? They ate it by the mizbeach. Dafka the mincha, the shiari mincha, they ate by the mizbeach. That's not true. They were allowed to eat it in the entire azara. So why does the dafka say by the mizbeach? So ela bizmanchu shalim v'lo bizman. What it means is they were able to eat it dafka the shari mincha only when the mizbeach was complete, not when the mizbeach was chaser. Says Marashka shari mincha kachem minolan. So fine, I see that shari mincha you can only eat when the mizbeach was intact. How do I know kachem you also can only eat when the mizbeach is intact? Tamalomer kodesh kadashim. So that's why the pasuk says kodesh kadashim kachem kalim minayin. How do I know that kachem kalim also you can only eat when the mizbeach is intact? Amar Abaye asya midrasha. It's Rabbi Yossi. We learned it from the drasha of Rabbi Yossi. Detanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gimel Dvarim, Mishum, Gimel Zakenim. Rabbi Yossi taught us 3 things in the name of 3 Zakenim. Zeh Echad Mehen. And this is one of the things he taught us. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yachal Yala Adam, Maisa Sheni, Li Yushalayim, Yachlenu Bizman Azeh. One might think that a person nowadays can take his Maisa Sheni to Yushalayim and eat his Maisa Sheni in Yushalayim even Bizman Azeh, right? That Kedusha Sa'aretz was not Batel, and therefore you need to be Mafresh Shumus and Maisos Min HaTorah, and therefore you can go and eat it in Yerushalayim without being poda, just bring your fruits to Yerushalayim and eat it. Videnu! And really, this is the analysis that we would have had. Bechor Ta'un Havas Makom. The halacha is a bechor needs to be brought to an animal that's a bechor needs to be brought to Yerushalayim. An animal that's bechor has kedusha. It has kedusha of a karban. That's why if you have a farmer, a Jewish farmer in the in the Midwest, let's say, who has animals, so we do for the farmer in order to avoid bechor beim tahora, he sells his cow that's about to give birth to a bechor. He sells that cow to a guy, like we do a mechiras chametz. That's what they do with the mechiras bechor, because if it's born into when ownership of a Jew, it's going to have kedushas bechor, and you really don't want that. You don't want an animal to be walking around with kedushas bechor. Bizman Azer, Rav Shechter used to say that he once got a phone call from a rabbi in the Midwest who said, "What do I do? I have a guy in my shul, he's a farmer. How do I do mechiras bechor?" So Rav Shechter said, "It's really no big deal. The same exact way that you do mechiras chametz." And he said, "The rabbi said, okay, how do you do that?" And he said, the guy was a rabbi for 30 years. I don't know what he did from Mechiras Chametz, 30 years. But anyway, we would have this analysis that a Bukhar needs to be brought to Yerushalayim and Maiser needs to be brought to Yerushalayim. Ma Bukhar Einu El B'fnei Abayis, Af Maiser Einu El B'fnei Abayis. So just like the Bukhar, the din is only when the Beis HaMikdash is around, so to Maiser should only be when the Beis HaMikdash is around. I Ma L'Bukhar Shekein Ton Matan Dom V'Yemburim L'Gabi Mizbech. No, maybe Bukhar is different. The reason why Bukhar is only Noach to be brought to Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash is around is because there's a requirement to do something with the animal by the Mizbeach. You need to do Matan Dam Menemurim on the Mizbeach. By Meisr Sheni, you just eat it in Yerushalayim. It's got no Chiyuvim on the Mizbeach. It says, Mar Bikurim Yochichu. Well, Bikurim doesn't have to have its blood or a Murim anywhere near the Mizbeach. And nevertheless, you still see it needs without the Beis HaMikdash, there is no mitzvah of bikurim. So maybe that would be the raya that Maaser Sheni should be similar. So mal bikurim shekein tunan hanachad. No, but bikurim also needs a mizbeach because you got to put the bikurim next to the mizbeach. So tam lomar veivesam shama alosechem makish maaser lebechar. So we compare maaser to bechar. Ma bechar einu el befnei abayis af maaser einu el befnei abayis. That just like bechar is only when the Beis HaMikdash is around, so too you only bring maaser to Yerushalayim when the Beis HaMikdash is around. So, fracting Marvin, how did Dina Vinesi be mad? Why don't we learn from the combination of Bechor and Bikurim without any pasuk, just learn from the combination of Bechor and Bikurim, that both by Bechor and by Bikurim, it's not done when the Beis HaMikdash is not around. So too Meisr will not be done when the Beis HaMikdash is not around. Why do I need a pasuk? Just learn from the Tzad HaShav of the two of them. You'll say that Meisr has its Tzad Chamor, that Bechor has its Tzad Chamor, because there's Dam and Emurim on the Mizbeach, and Bikurim has its Tzad Chamor, that needs Hanacha by the Mizbeach. But Bichar doesn't have the same Chumrah as Bikurim. Bikurim doesn't have the same Chumrah as Bichar. Mela, from the combination of the two, you should be able to learn from a Tzad HaShava. So it says, no, Mishum Dikal Mifrach, Mela Tzad HaShava, Shben Shkein Yeshmeh, and Tzad Mizbeach. No, the common denominator between them, between Bichar and Bikurim, though, is that they both require Mizbeach in the process. Meister has no Shaychus to the Mizbeach. So it's logical that by Bichar and Bikurim, when the Beis Mikdash is not around, the whole mitzvah goes away, because you need a Mizbeach to do those mitzvahs. So you don't need a mizbeach to do those mitzvahs. So Micah Savar, Iksa. So what are we assuming over here about the kedushas and mikdash? Iksa and kedusha rishona kishal shayiv kishal aslavo afilu bechor nami. If we hold kedusha rishona is still kadosh, then bechor also should have a chiyuv even bezman hazeh. Even bechor you should be makriv and you should eat it because it's kishal aslavo and we should be makriv even though there's no base of mikdash. Iksa lo kishal aslavo afilu bechor nami tibay. And if there's no kedusha aslavo, then at least we should raise the Shaila by a Bechor also, just like we do by Meisr. Why is Bechor so much more pashut to us? So I'm Ravina, Liolam Kasavar Lo Kitcha. We're assuming that it's not Kadosh Lassad Lavo. Vachem Ha'eskinan B'Bechor Shenizrak Damo Kodem Churban Abayis. That we're discussing over here a case where the Bechor had his Rikas Adam, was shechted and had his Rikas Adam before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And then Bechor of Abayis, then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. V'adayin B'Saro Kayim. And its meat was still around. The iskish besara l'dama. We know that we compare the basar of the bechor to the dam of the bechor. Ma dama b'mizbeach ha besar b'mizbeach. Just like the dam requires the mizbeach, so too the basar maybe requires the existence of the mizbeach. Va'asi meiser v'yalof mi bechor, and then meiser comes and is derived from bechor. So that's how we learn. So the bechor, the basar of the bechor, not applying when there's no mizbeach, is learned from dam of the bechor. Meiser then comes and is learned from bechor, from the basar of the bechor. So ask the Gemara the obvious question by Kachim. How can you have a hekesh that teaches from the dam of the Bechor to the basar of the Bechor, and then another hekesh come teach from the basar of the Bechor to Meisr? It's a double hekesh. Says Gemara, Meisr dagon chulinhu. Meisr is actually chulin. It doesn't count as hekdish, and therefore you're allowed to have the double limud. So says Gemara, Hanich lamadiyam basar lamid azina, lamadiyam basar lamid azina ma'ikal lemeimar. That's great if you assume that when identifying whether we're allowed to have a double hekdish, you look at the end product, at the last thing we're learning to, and you say, oh, that's not hekdish, so it's okay. But if you hold it, you have to look at the melamed, that which is teaching out, let's say the middle stage. Well, over here, the middle one is basar bechor. So that certainly is kodesh. So how can you learn the double hekdish? So says Gemara, Dam and Basar, it's not really considered separate entities where it's a two-step process. They're considered one idea, and therefore it's not a double hekesh, it's only a single hekesh. Okay, that's the end of the abbreviated version of today's Daf Yomi.